good evening, everyone, and all I have to say is those gentlemen talking, it's nice to be so young. You're all younger than I am, and I don't feel fossilized. But this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have several net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up this evening. My name is Kathleen. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where currently I believe it's a temperature of about 63, high today of about 72, low tonight of about 46. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, come aboard. Well, hearing no emergency traffic, and as I always say, that's a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, a special event, anniversary, maybe last week, this week, that would like to come aboard? All right. No birthday stations. That means, like I always say, we're not getting any older. All right. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise you, we always record our TINs, so if you've been part of this session tonight, you most definitely will be part of this recording. Our topic this evening is packet radio. And we have quite a program for you. So let's get started. And I'm going to throw it over to you, Chief W4RFJ, to begin. And thanks for allowing me to read your preamble.
K6SUN from W4RFJ. We're pickled pink that you were there to do it, Kathy. And thank you, Miss Sunshine. And good evening, everyone. Tonight we will be discussing how packet radio works, its history, and what the future holds in a worldwide amateur radio digital communications. Before we start with the program this evening, allow me to give you some background on the fog and what has prompted this recent fascination for packet radio. The beginnings of the fog, which stands for future-oriented gateways, started in the deep recesses of my mind many years ago. The primary premise was to build an IPv6 worldwide mesh network that would connect the amateur radio community digitally and via a private network devoted specifically to amateur radio. Over time, the technobabble and conversations involved brought key personnel together to conceptualize. And design and build a system that would support a worldwide connected amateur radio network that would support past, present, and future digital modes that includes low, medium, and fast speed communications over several mediums. As a matter of fact, most of those technobabbly personnel are assisting with this presentation tonight, and I want to say welcome. With the idea of keeping everything backward compatible within the fog systems, packet was brought into play as a digital mode that is an older digital technology that definitely falls into the network type of mode or methodology. Not to steal any thunder from my colleagues, but ultimately the main culprit for packet success and downfall has been the OSI model, which is the open systems interconnection model utilized in both past and present network communication. More on this later. With those facts behind us, I'd like to get the program on the road and moving. Let me pass the mic to KY6V, our captain here on SCARS. He will share the history and technical description of packet. Over to you, Skipper, and thank you. W4RFJ, over to KY6V.
No. Thank you, Chief. Good evening, everybody. Gordon here, KY6V. And we're going to take a look at how packet was developed for a few minutes to be the digital radio communication mode widely accepted by amateur radio. Now, many hams will be surprised to find out that the packet radio has been around since 1970. Engineers at the University of Hawaii experimented with radio-to-transceiver computer data in short bursts called packets. This was back in the 70s. This system, referred to as the Aloha, that's A-L-O-H-A, Aloha, used a pair of radio channels, one channel dubbed a multiple access channel, permit a number of remote radio-equipped terminals to reach a central radio-equipped computer, and a second radio channel, called a broadcast channel, let the central computer transmit responses back to the terminals out in the field. And you know what? The best part of this whole system is it worked. Give me a chance to recharge everybody's timers here. So, triggered by the success of the Aloha project, the U.S. Department of Defense studied packet radio to see what its feasibility would be for military communication. Under Government's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, now there's a mouthful, or DARPA for short, the modern development of packet radio communication was really drastically improved. So DARPA extended the Aloha to include mobile packet audio and packet radio. Each user in the DARPA network of mobile stations called the PRNET, PRNET, you've heard that before, I'll bet, shared the same frequency. Each mobile also had the ability to relay or repeat packets from one side site to another site on an as-needed basis. Sort of slick stuff. Much was learned about packet radio when these experimenting efforts, and however it was arrived, and the arrival of personal computers, the PCs, that allowed packet radio to be analyzed by a handful of forward-thinking hams as a serious mean of communication for the average electronics enthusiast. Amateur operators comprised a considerable chunk of the personal computer marketplace in the early 1970s, while computer hobbyists learned about the wonders of software and microprocessor hardware and so on. Some progressive hams began to think about how packet radio technology could be modified to work with amateur radio. So let me give you a quick timeline here, not to drag this thing on, but I thought a little bit of education of how it all came to pass might be interesting. Timeline may be more in line with getting a simple view of the history of packets, so let me recharge the timers and we'll go into that shortly. Okay, looking back at September of 1978, Narn Bardo Digital Transmission ASCII 2 were legalized for hams in Canada, opening the way for on-the-air test of amateur radio network experiments. That was 1978. January of the following year in Vancouver, Doug Lockhart, VE7APU, described a relatively simple hardware and software system for sending and receiving bursts of data using radio and computers. Shortly thereafter, the Vancouver Amateur Digital Communication Group, or VADCG, is what they call themselves, was born, and VE7APU's add-on system came to be known as the VADCG Terminal Node Controller, TNC, or simply the Vancouver Board. Now, in March of 1980, the FCC legalized ASCII to a transmission, so we're getting in the act now. And by year's end, the first U.S. digital repeater, or digipeater, was placed on the air in San Francisco. I was raised in San Francisco, guys. Nice town. It used homemade hardware and software based on the VADCG protocol. A protocol is a set of rules by which packet-link computers communicate. Just to clarify that point. So in 1981, this VADCG began to distribute the Vancouver boards. It included a high-quality printed circuit for hams that wanted to build the TNC, connect it to a small computer as a peripheral, and get on the air. So there you have it in a nutshell. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to David in Wales and let him discuss why we use packet for communication. A lot of water's gone under the bridge, but we've got some new horizons that look awfully interesting. GW8SZL, thank you, David. The floor is yours from KY6B.
Yeah, thanks, Captain. This is the Petrified One, Dolph Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Dave here in South Wales, in Newport, 12 miles northeast of the capital city of Cardiff in South Wales in the UK. And now we're going to discuss why we communicate with packet. Now, amateur radio enthusiasts have always prided themselves on their ability to pass messages error-free. The ARRL message template will give every operator the ability to inspect the message and verify the accuracy when proofing the message traffic that is handled in voice and CW modes. Now, packet brings an ability to send and receive data error-free. Its protocol, or network language, utilizes CRC, which is cyclic redundancy check-in, by breaking the message up into packets. Now, each packet is sent and handshaking is involved to acknowledge, or ACK, or not acknowledge, NACK, N-A-C-K, each packet. Now, it is this handshaking that ensures that the packets are sent to the receiving station and acknowledged as error-free. Now, once the packets are received, they are reassembled to make the message or data available, error-free to its recipient. If you were to look at the internet data, you would see a familiar form of packet information being sent over OSI Level 1, not Ethernet or Wi-Fi. The fact that packet, which was derived from the old military protocols called X25, was incorporated with the ability to set your amateur radio call sign for identification, thus renaming it to AX25. This modification made it possible to use packet over our amateur radio links. Now, just to be clear, AX25 is an OSI Model Level 2 link layer protocol. Okay, without further ado, let's pass it to Tom over there in Dayton, Ohio, my good friend KG5ZI, and see if he can help us understand the computer communications network language or protocols. Over to you there, Tom, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
All right, Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima from Kilo Golf 5 Zulu India, Tom in Dayton, Ohio. Thank you very much, Petrified One. And I appreciate the opportunity to participate tonight. Now, we're going to talk about protocols. And protocols are what actually put everything together. This is an exciting time for Packet Radio, and now we are going to talk about the language. Understanding the language, basically the software behind it. Now, it's sometimes difficult to visualize, as Chief mentioned earlier, what the OSI model is. Well, the OSI model is now and was very much the catalyst to the development of past and future network communications. And that model actually is part of the actual internet we use today as well. What is the OSI model, you may ask? Well, it's called the Open Systems Interconnection Model. And it's a conceptual framework used to describe the functions of a networking system. The OSI model characterizes computing functions into a universal set of rules and requirements in order to support interoperability between different computers, communications products, and software. The OSI model consists of 7 layers. And just visualize a sandwich with lots of things in it. And within these layers, different protocols reside at different levels to build and decode the packets between the application and the data transmitted over the actual network interface or the hardware. AX.25 protocols reside in the link layer or layer 2 of the OSI model, as mentioned previously. The AX.25 protocol offers both connected and connectionless modes of operation, and it's used either by itself for point-to-point links or to carry other protocols such as TCP/IP, ROSE, and NetROM. AX25 is similar to X25 Level 2 in structure, with some extensions to make it more useful in the amateur radio environment, including the use of call signs in it. TCP/IP is actually a set of rules and procedures. The Transfer Control Protocol and Internet Protocols are the two main protocols in TCP/IP, though others are included in the suite. The TCP/IP protocol suite functions as an abstraction layer between Internet applications and the routing switching fabric. The NetROM protocol is an attempt at a full network protocol that uses AX25 also at its lowest layer as a data link protocol. It provides a network layer that is an adaptation form of AX25, and NetROM protocol features dynamic routing and node aliasing. And then finally, there's the ROSE protocol. That's R-O-S-E. And that was conceived and first implemented by Tom Moulton, Whiskey 2 Victor Yankee, and is an implementation of the X.25 packet layer protocol and is designed to operate with AX25 as its data link layer protocol. It too provides a network layer. ROSE addresses take the form of a 10-digit number. The first 4 digits are called the DNIC, or Data Network Identification Code, and those codes are taken from Appendix B of the CCITT X.121 recommendation. And those were very innovative times. There were so many people coming up to the plate and writing software. It was very exciting. So that's it for protocols. I hope that wasn't too deep. And we'll pass the mic now over to Dave. Kilo Bravo 9 Echo Whiskey Golf in Wisconsin, and we'll see what Dave has to add to our topic. I think he's going to talk about hardware now. Over to you, Dave, KB9EWG from KG5ZI.
All right, well, Tom, well, thank you so much. Good evening to you there, and good evening to everybody else. I want to give a special good evening to Sean from my area here who just joined us this evening. Good evening to all. And yes, Tom, I am going to be talking about hardware this evening. Packet has been a possible using a device called a terminal node controller over the past 40 plus years. I used to have several myself. It has been a shift in hardware going from an external TNC with its own CPU, RAM, and interfaces to software TNCs that combine the packet programs like packet bulletin board or a chat conference. The main function of the TNC is to take info or data from a CPU, running one of the aforementioned programs, and interface it with the radio. Sheep has been working on such a device called a Super Duper TNC, which incorporates a Raspberry Pi Zero mounted inside a TNC, thus giving the hams the ability to repurpose old TNCs. Some of the newer hardware has become inexpensive, and because technology capable of higher speeds, namely 1200, 2400, 4800 and 9600 baud per second. The move from actual hardware to software can be summarized as continually evolved. Some of the contributions can be accounted for by the effort of select pioneers that utilize level 2 link protocols that Tom had mentioned. Let me reset here. So Alan Cox developed some of the early kernel-based AX25 software support for Linux. Jonathan says, Neil, I'm thinking, are they talking Taylor? Anyways, has taken up ongoing development of the code, has added NetROM and role support, and is now the developer of AX25-related kernel code. DAMA support, or DAMA support, was developed by George Delta Lima 1 Bravo Kilo Echo. Baycom and sound modem support were added by Thomas Saylor. AX25 software is now maintained by a small team of developers on SourceForge. And we said here. By the way, Baycom was one of the first TNCs I ever had with a Baycom there. Nice little TNC. The Linux code supports the KISS and 6-pack based TNCs or terminal node controllers. The Ottawa Pi card, PI card, and Gracias Packet Twin card and other Z850 SCC-based cards with the generic SCC driver, several parallel and serial port Baycom modems, and serial port YAM modems, YAM modems, Thomas Saylor sound card modem drivers, supports Sound Blaster and sound cards based on the Crystal chip set. Let me say here. So, yeah, many different sound cards and other modems can be used that way. So anyways, and this is a newer user, mode sound modem uses the standard kernel sound drivers. So it should work with any sound card support under Linux. The user programs contain a simple PMS or personal message system, a beacon facility, and a line mode connect program. Or listen, an example of how the capture of all AX25 frames at raw interface level. And programs to configure out NetROM protocol as included are on AX25 server style program to handle and dispatch AX25 connections, and a NetROM daemon, which does most of the hard work for the NetROM passport. Remember we said that? There are utility programs to support APRS, including DigiPeating and gateway to the internet. Let's pass it to the Sheriff George at 070 in Nottingham, Maryland. 070, this is KBIEWG. Over to you, sir.
Well, good evening to everyone on the South Coast CIN. Thank you, Dave. This is George in 070 in Nottingham, Maryland, beautifully and officially known as the Forest over here. Good to see everyone here tonight. Thank you for being with us for the South Coast CIN. My South Coast number is Echo 2304, and I am privileged to have been asked to be a part of the panel of presenters tonight. Thank you, Chief, for the invitation. Everyone. All right, so most of us are still enjoying the mode of operation called the Morse code, or simply CW to others, which stands for continuous wave. A little bit of a misnomer in that when you do Morse code, you're actually interrupting the continuous wave to then form the dits and dahs that make up the letters and numbers, which then can be copied back into written or spoken language. So with the software and audio interface technologies that are available today, reliable computer communications via CW are now a reality, despite the fact that atmospheric conditions can make CW reception poor without a human ear to help during these bad weather times. The variations of CW involve tone frequency, might be known as pitch, like audio pitch, musical pitch, and also the speed of the code being transferred. Was there a station on the conference who would like to comment? Please come now. This is in a 7-0. Over. All right, nothing heard. So radio teletype, or RTTY, is a machine-generated mode that incorporates a mark tone and a space tone. So instead of a tone or a lack of tone, as in CW Morse code, we're now actually listening to two different tones, a mark tone and a space tone. Variations of this signal involve the frequency and polarity of the tones and the spacing between the tones and, of course, the data speed. The data itself is made up of 5-bit characters, which are called a BALDOT code for each function or alphabetic character. Technology has made it possible to use a simple computer interface to modulate and demodulate RTTY instead of some of the older technology that involved paper tape and relays and interruptions of circuits to create the mark and space tones that way. So quite a bit of change in RTTY technology. RTTY, along with PSK, MFSK, Domino EX, SHIB64/128, THROB, THROB, MT63, and Olivia are considered unstructured digital modes, unstructured, due to the fact that they are generally considered sound card modes and are used for keyboard-to-keyboard communications. Fuzzy data modes are those that are transmitted and received by a computer as images and then rely on a human to be able to interpret the output. These include slow-scan TV, facsimile, and Hilscher-Iber methods. Structured modes that provide more robust data connection and better weak signal performance are FSK-144, JT6M, JT65, and WSPR, sometimes pronounced as whisper. These are just a few of the digital modes that preceded the more complicated networking data modes, such as packet or AX.25. Now, packet utilizes FSK or AFSK, which is frequency shift keying or audio frequency shift keying, GMSK, and PSK, and a 7-bit code known as ASCII, which stands for the American Standard Code for Information Interchange. Now, most of what I have just shared is a brief account of some of the modes that we share in amateur radio. Most of these require a strong human skill or ability to decode and encode or to operate. Others utilize specific software that produces data that still needs to be able to be decoded by a human. Packet is simple in that we as operators enter data or text, and that data is maintained and forwarded error-free. It is this ability that affords us the pleasure of communicating in several different ways using packet. And should I mention the ability to utilize the Internet to share our data? Most of the programs or systems we use can be itemized and simplified. These programs or systems that we can use are PBBS, or a packet bulletin board system. Some of you may remember bulletin board systems from the earliest days of the Internet and in the early days of research that led to the Internet out of DARPA. The PBBS provides entry and reception of text messages, provides automatic store and forwarding of messaging or traffic at a local and worldwide level, and can also be used as a personal mail drop within most TNCs, or which are known as terminal node controllers. A terminal node controller is the equivalent of a modem for packet use, and it controls the node like a terminal interface. A node is a net node network service. A node provides automatic connection to destination systems without a need to know the exact route of the packet. Another system or program you use is chat, which I think everyone nowadays is very familiar with, especially in this day of a lot of operation from home, and rather, and that requires a lot of dialogue and interface where we're not able to do it in person or face-to-face right now. So chat is a conference or keyboard-to-keyboard teletyping service. Chats can be linked to provide chat rooms at a worldwide level or at a local level. Systems can even be linked and unlinked automatically dependent upon activity. Another software system that is used is the APRS, or Automatic Packet Reporting System. This utilizes a GPS or manual location to display on a map that also can be used for short text messages. And last but not least, another mode is keyboard to keyboard, or the ability to connect by radio or node directly to another station's keyboard and screen. Now, there are a lot of other topics and technology and advances and that can be enjoyed, researched, appreciated, learned as the technology progresses and increases. The current resurgence of packet technology then can open up new horizons that have been dormant during the period here of less use of packet, and it is indeed a very exciting technology to be able to use. Let me reset. And Chief, I have a question for you, please, sir. May I take a moment to describe some research in packet that was done in 1985 at Northern Arizona University that deals with the packet hitter and collisions? May I take a moment to describe that? I think it might be interesting. But if you feel it's not time to do that, I understand. That's my question for you. Sorry for the last-minute question. W4FJ, what is your pleasure, sir? N070, over.
You know, I think we should save that for the packeteers and move forward the way we're going. However, I would like to add, by the way, this is W4RFJ. My chest is full of pride. This Everybody's really doing a great job here. But I think we should pause for a moment and see if anybody has any questions. I know a question popped into my head when Dave was talking about the different types of systems. The term DEMA came up, and I was curious if anybody knew what that was or what it stood for, and that's probably what you're talking about. So if you don't mind, George, please take some check-ins and see if there's anybody that has a question or a comment. Over.
Very well, Chief. So Chief has opened the door for comments, questions, feedback, any additions or thoughts that anyone on the conference tonight might have regarding Packet or your experience, your research, your appreciation of the technology. We look forward to your calling now. Please call now. This is NO70. Over.
H.A.
Well, good evening, Fred, and I'm very proud to be the one to invite Raju Ubermeister aboard the JN tonight. Good to hear from you, Fred. And please go ahead with your question. H-U-H-A, NO70. Over.
Well, it's just a point. I'm glad this is being recorded. There's a tremendous amount of information here, and it's going by really fast. So I'll be looking forward to going more in depth so I can, you know, do some hands-on studying while I go over each point that's being presented. So thank you all very much. Good information. And I'm glad we're going to have a recording as a podcast up on the SCARS conference server. Okay, back to you, George. This is Fred, K2HA.
K2HA in the South Park CIN on Packet Radio Technology, NO70. Well, thank you for the feedback and the compliments, and certainly you do provide an opportunity on the rag to you for us to dig in deeper on these topics as well, too. So please come join Fred on the Saturday and Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Rag Shoes. Are there any others who would have any comments, reflections, questions, thoughts? Please call now. This is NO70. Over. When nothing hurts, I want to make sure that I left plenty of time for the digital modes in case there were some out there. All right, hearing none at that time, then I think it's back to Chief for some other thoughts on this, because Chief sure brought this up and this very interesting program up here. And thank you, Chief, W4RJ on the South Cars CIN. Thank you, Chief, and to do pick it up, go from here. W4RJ, NO70. Over.
Okay, outstanding. George, nice job. And I want to compliment you on your audio tonight. It's nice and clear and right there on top. Again, good evening, everybody. This is W4RFJ. Thanks, Sheriff, and thank you to all the narrators for an outstanding presentation so far. Despite the information we have discussed here tonight, it is apparent that there is a lot more to relearn and or research to get all of us to a point of building and maintaining Packet in its many forms. In summary tonight, our program gave you a brief description of Packet, its history, and some of the things you can do with it. We even touched base on some of the digital modes that amateurs have had the opportunity to incorporate within their station's capabilities. Let me grab a nickel. As Packet was being experimented with by DARPA, the Internet was also starting to take shape. That is where the OSI model set the standards to ensure any development of hardware, software, and protocols, and made sure that they were following the same requirements in order to maintain full compatibility on the communication network. If you remember, I said the OSI model was the success and downfall for Packet. Well, Packet became popular with its simplicity and robust capabilities as set forth by Link Layer 2 of the OSI, and as the hardware and software and protocols were being improved upon and then made available at higher speeds and the newer technologies such as Ethernet and Wi-Fi, the slower speed packet lost its error-free greatness to higher speeds and greater bandwidth than the high-definition applications, which include video, high-def audio, etc., etc., etc. Let me grab a nickel. It is with the now more modern OSI model and protocols that gives packet radio the ability to enjoy riding on the tails and the fast and error-free linking ability we add to, with our own high-speed private amateur radio networks. We have one that we're building, as I mentioned earlier, that we affectionately call the FOG, which stands for Future-Oriented Gateways. By the way, I'd like to add, everyone is welcome to join us to relearn and experiment with Packet on a Groups IO email reflector we call Packeteer. So if you go to groups.io and you do a search for Packeteer, you can sign up and join us in throwing emails back and forth and experimenting and building our systems. Let me grab another nickel. Let me make it clear. There were a lot of pioneers since March of 1981 that helped mold amateur radio's packet communications. At one time, I remember a nationwide network of hams utilized to enhance NTS traffic. That's the national traffic system. If I took the time to name them all, we would be here for days. I would like to thank a amateur radio AI2Q, Alex, for sharing his rendition of the history of packet radio, which the captain has graciously made available on the STARS VOIP website. Also, special thanks goes out to Larry Kenny, WB9LOZ, for his web-based introduction to packet radio. I suggest everybody go take a peek at that. It's got a lot of neat information. Of course, wiki pages for packet radio, and last but not least, my good old 2015 and 2020 ARRL handbooks for radio communications. Without the information that was gleaned from their tomes of knowledge, this presentation would not be possible. So with that, I would like to pass, drop the mic here and give a call for comments or questions before we close. And if anybody's curious, DAMA stands for Demand Assigned Multiple Access. So it's just another networking protocol that the Germans developed over in Germany. All right. Any comments before we close? This is W4RFJ with the South Cars December TIN.
Alpha 7 Mike Romeo, Mr. Terry here.
Okay, Alpha Echo 7 Mike Romeo recognized. Is there anybody else?
Kilo Mike 4 Sierra, Mike Victor, Marvin.
All right, we'll try this one more time. We've got Alpha Echo 7 Mike Romeo and Kilo Mike 4 Sierra Mike Victor. Is there anybody else that would like to be added to the list for final comments or questions?
6 Victor.
Okay, I'm not sure if that was a check-in or not, but we'll go with this list. Alpha Echo 7, Mike Romeo, go ahead with your question or comment.
Alpha Echo 7, Mike Romeo. Well, I came into this a little bit late, and so what I gleaned of it looks like something I need to look into, seeing as how I'm stuck doing nothing but rehab here at the rehab center after my little incident of getting on the floor at the home. When I get a chance to, I'll be looking into that. Now, is that on the SCARS, the recording going to be on the SCARS site? Is that what I gleaned from that, back to that from Alpha Echo 7, Mike Romeo?
Yes, sir, Mr. Terry. It will be on the website probably in a day or two. We'll let the captain fill us in on that. Anything else, Terry?
Alpha Echo 7 Mike Romeo. No, I think that's about it for me. Other than I'd like to thank all of those who put prayers out for me since I'm in the rehab center here. It's making a world of difference. I'm making a lot of progress in that. And I got a picture from my son of old Oscar Mayer Wiener, and he's no longer light brown. He's back to his dark brown self. So I guess we're both getting healthy. So thanks to all of those who've been keeping me in your prayers. This is Alpaca 7 Mike Romeo, back to that from the Junction City Rehab Center, Junction City, Oregon, 73A7MR.
All right, Terry. Well, thanks for checking in with us, and certainly are in our prayers. Get well soon. Next on my list is Kilo Mike 4, Sierra Mike Victor. Marvin, go ahead. What's your question or comment? Over. KM4SMB. Marvin, are you there?
KM4SMB. One and done. I don't have any questions or comments. That's all I got. KM4SMB.
Okay, Marvin, thanks for joining us. KY6V, last but not least. Captain, go ahead. What you got for us? Over.
Well, thank you, kind sir. Gordon, KY6V here. Just a couple of thoughts. You might want to say what the address is for the FOG website. And let the guys jot that down. You might also want to give them the sign-up page that they can go to in order to become a packeteer with the FOG organization and get things started if they are interested in pursuing this, like I hope that they probably are. On the TIN, I should have that posted on the website probably no later than noon tomorrow. And for reinforcement on what Fred was saying about the depth and width of the conversations here tonight, you might also want, besides re-listening to the podcast, to make sure that you look at the URLs that are posted as reference material for tonight's subject. They're all very well written. They also provide an awful lot of information, most of which, or some of which anyway, was covered this evening. So with that, back to you there, Professor Jordan, KY6V, over.
Very good point. Well, the Ham Radio FOG page, you can find that information on the Packeteer groups.io page, and I'm going to give that URL. If you go to https://, I don't know if that's / or / but there's two slashes, upper right to lower left, groups.io/g/packeteer. And I'll print that up in the text box here so that everybody can go to it. The Ham Radio FOG website is up on that page. You can click on it, but right now it just has a splash page that talks about the beginnings of the FOG. So we're in the process of changing that out and making things so that we can actually operate as an official function, you know, building that network. Anyway, this has all been about Packet, and there's a lot more to it than we have time for tonight. And that's why we started the Packeteer at groups.io, to ensure that we had a means to, you know, throw the stuff back and forth and let everybody get involved. Captain, anything else? Over.
No, good show. Thank you, sir. KY6V.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. This has been SCARS. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the SCARSVOIP.com website. This is W4RFJ, and before I close the net and return the SCARS conference back to normal and or abnormal use, I want to extend a sincere thanks again. My chest is full of pride You guys really did a great job tonight, and thank you very much. So this is W4RFJ. I'm going to say 7-3, and again, thank you, and enjoy Packet. W4FJ out.
I just want to extend a quick welcome to KD9GDS and Rick and Sean, KD9KGQ from the Riverland Amateur Radio Club. This is KD9EWG.
This is KC9MRW. I guess I came in way too late. I thought it was 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, not 6 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Well, Neil, it'll be posted on the website as a podcast, so you'll be able to listen to the whole thing when it becomes available. Over.
Okay, thank you for that information, KC9MRW.